My name is Agnes Werfel. I'm interviewing Anne Vincent for the Athabasca Seniors History Project. We are at Century Villa. It's now in the morning of March 22nd of the year 2017. Okay, Anne, what is your full name?
Anna Pohlmann Vincent.
And your maiden name?
Oh, my maiden name is Pohlmann. I'm sorry, I got that wrong.
Okay. That's fine. Okay. Your father's full name?
Joseph Pohlmann.
And your mother's full name?
Is that her maiden
name? That would be, I think, her full name, married name.
Married, yeah. Anna Pohlmann.
And your date of birth?
May 13th, 1926.
Your place of birth?
Mor, Hungary. M-O-R, Hungary.
So, and then you're going to begin by telling me about your childhood a little bit.
Well, we came to Canada in 1928, and we went to a farm north of Vermilion, where my father was employed, because he came a year before we did. And then eventually, my two brothers were born. And when my youngest brother was born, my mother had postpartum depression and was in a mental institution and never came home from that. And
Anne, you had a very hard beginning in your very early childhood. So, what do you remember about your mom? You remember anything about your mom, Doc?
I just remember she was a very loving, kind person, and she used to come every night and pray with me before we went to bed. And she was always looked after other people, and she looked after. She was cooking at the place where we were staying, where my dad was employed, and she looked after the boy's father, who was an invalid, and she looked after him as well.
Okay. So then your dad was left with four children, very close together in age.
Yes, yes.
And your mother was employed there to look after an invalid, so then there was no reason for him to stay there anymore. So
that's
what
right.
Happened?
He bought his own farm at that time. He had made enough money to buy his own farm. And at that time, you could get a farm fairly cheap, because if you cleared so much land every year, the government, it helped kind of pay for the farm. The
yes.
government gave you like a certain amount of land for clearing some of the mm-hmm. property. Yeah, so.
Okay, so then when did you start school then?
I was 8 years old when I started school. So, because I had about 2 miles to walk to school, and I would have had to go alone. But my neighbors came the first year, and they used to come by our place and pick me up then. And I learned to ride horses when I was very young. I was riding horses when I was four. So in winter, I was able to ride to school, which is great. And once a horse got to know the routine, I didn't have to,
to guide him. He knew the way.
It knew the way. It just went to the school and back.
He knew what he was,
yes,
what his job was.
Yeah, I didn't have to direct it at all.
And
yes.
You had a good relationship with that horse?
Oh, yes, yeah.
You loved it.
I loved the horse. Yes, I loved horses.
So what school was that you went to?
That was named Optimist. It was a school.
It was a country school.
It was a country school. And I had the best teacher in the world. Her name was Miss Elliott. I will never, never forget her. She spent so much time, because I couldn't speak a word of English when I started school.
And you started school kind of late.
I started school late. And I passed, like grade one and two, the first year. That's how good my teacher was.
Well, you were also a good little student.
I loved school. I loved going to school. I didn't want to go home.
And, okay, so
then we moved.
So how many students were there in that school?
Oh gosh, I can't remember. Probably maybe 10 or 15.
Oh, okay. So it was a small country school.
It was a country school, and it was from grade 1 to 9.
So you were privileged, in a sense, to go to school in a small school where the teacher could give you a lot of attention.
Yes.
And she loved giving you attention.
Apparently, yes.
Because you were probably a lovable child.
Oh, I don't know. But anyway, yes.
All right, so from there on, what happened then as you kept on
getting older? Well, then I don't remember how long we were there, but we moved to another farm and went to school there, and the name of the school there was Turkey Hill.
Okay.
And it was not... I did not get the... It's about the same number of children, maybe a few more, but my teacher was not... Sorry, I shouldn't say that, but my teacher was not as good as the one I had.
They couldn't all be that
They
way.
Couldn't, yeah. So I got kind of left behind, in a sense, because I didn't feel I was getting the work that I wanted to do, because I was way ahead of the other children that were there. So sometimes I had to do some, because the teacher knew, you know, that I knew more than they were teaching at that level, grade, that sometimes he would put me into a higher grade, you know, to get things, and that sort of confused me a bit. So eventually I just stayed as it was. Like, I just went from one grade to the other. I didn't gain any. Stay ahead.
Did you read a lot then?
I loved reading. I always loved reading. Mm-hmm. Yeah, every chance I got, I would read. I remember reading Lenin.
Oh.
The book, Lenin.
Lenin, oh.
When I was quite young.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, so... Well, when we came to this country, we came from a communist country, I guess, I don't know, but my father was the secretary of this party, mm-hmm. and war broke out. And then he really worried about that, because this is not what he wanted. You know, that was not his intention. He thought what they were doing was okay. He didn't realize that maybe they shouldn't have been doing it. Mm-hmm. And I remember packing up all these books and burying them.
Oh, yes.
And I still know where he buried them, and I often wished I could have gone back and got them.
Oh, yeah.
Just for, you know, I'd like to have seen just what was all in the books. Mm-hmm. So anyway, mm-hmm. but...
All right, so after Turkey Hill, you were... What was your last grade there in Turkey Hill?
I was in grade 4, because we weren't there that long. Mm-hmm. Then we moved to another place, and gosh, and I can't remember the name of the school now. Just slipped my mind.
I don't think it matters.
Okay, we moved to another school, which is really good. We had some really good teachers there. Yes. Mm-hmm. So.
And it was again. It was a country school.
It was a country school, and that was the last school I went to. Yeah. Yes. And I got to as far as grade 9, but never got to write. My grade 9, I shouldn't say, my grade 8, sorry. And then from there, went to St. Mary's home.
Mm-hmm. You were moved to... You were
St. Mary's Boys Home.
St. Mary's
yes.
Boys Home.
And I stayed with the sisters in their quarters, because they didn't want to separate the three of us. Mm-hmm. So, because my brothers were there, it was actually a boys' home, not for girls. And anyway, from there, I went to a place called Huxley to some foster parents. And my brothers came to Minook here. And
so what were you doing at Huxley? Why were you taken to Huxley?
I don't know. Nobody ever told me why I went there. I was just a foster child. But I turned 15. I went there. I got there about the first part of May, and because I was 15, the 13th of May, then I didn't have to go to school. Nobody sent me to school from there. And I was very sad about that because I really wanted to go to school. But I never got to write my grade 9 exam because of it.
Yes. So then at Huxley, you were a companion for the wife?
I felt like I was a companion. I really don't know what I was supposed to be, but I was there but doing absolutely nothing.
And because she was a wealthy lady.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, she was related to the, in the States, he was...
She was on the, they were on the, he was on the executive of an oil company.
Yes, he was, yeah. and his office was in Calgary, so he only came home on weekends. And she was alone on the farm with the children.
How many children?
Well, when I came there, they only had one. Mm-hmm. So, and the in-laws lived across the road from where we were.
Yeah.
So.
So then at that age, you had already... you probably had leaned towards wanting a certain profession or something. What was that you were leaning towards?
I wanted to be a nurse all my life.
Yes, okay.
From the very time I was very little, that's what I wanted to be. So.
Okay, so can you tell me some of the things that happened there that you felt while you were being that companion for that?
Well, we didn't do very much, you know. We had tea time across at her in-laws every afternoon, mm-hmm. and which was kind of a social gathering. Everybody came in, including the hired men, everybody, and we spent an hour having tea. But I drank my tea very fast because they had a library in their living room, mm-hmm. and so I would sneak away and read a book while they were having tea. So, and eventually, they didn't know I was reading a book. Eventually, I got some of the books that I read.
All right. And at one time, you told me that there was one exciting time there while you were living there, Farm Young People's Week or something like that?
Oh, yes. I got to go to Edmonton to Farm Young People's Week, which is wonderful. I really enjoyed that. They taught us... they taught us cooking and just different things, you know. And we had social gatherings and we had a dance and things like that. So that
was... And you made friends.
That was fun, yes.
You made friends.
Made friends, yes.
You made lifelong friends.
Yes, I did, yes. That was lots of fun.
All right, so from there on, after that, you stayed there until what age?
I was 18. I wasn't allowed to leave until I was 18. And while I was there, by the way, I wrote several letters because I wanted to go to school, and I never heard from anyone.
So then you found out later that they had not received those letters.
That they had not received the letters.
So you don't know why that was?
No, I don't know. I may have had the wrong address, I don't know. So.
Okay, so...
And I also wrote because... I wrote to the sisters because I wanted to become a nun at that time. Yeah. And they told me I was too young.
The nuns told you
were
too young?
Yes. Yeah. They had lots of nuns in those days.
Yes, that's right. Now they wouldn't do that.
No.
Okay, so at 18 years of age then, something happened. What did you do? You went to visit? You went for a visit.
My brother's foster parents found out where I was. And so they contacted me, and I went to visit them on the farm here.
To see your brothers. Because you must have missed your brother.
Oh, I did, because I had no idea where they were, and nobody seemed to worry about trying to find them for me or anything, and I had no way of contacting them. But they wanted to know where I was at. So mm-hmm. And so they contacted me, and I went to visit them, and they were wonderful people. They just took me in like family.
So they took you in?
Like family.
Yes.
Yeah. So I stayed there for about a week, and I knew I had to go to work. I mean, I couldn't stay there at 18. I had to do something. So I went to Edmonton, and they took me to a friend's place, mm-hmm. and I stayed with them, and I babysat for a while, and they found a job for me, and the lady there, the Mrs. Patterson, they owned a funeral home in Edmonton, And she knew the director of nursing at the University Hospital and got me a job at the hospital as a ward aide. And I told the nursing, the director of nursing, that I really wanted to be a nurse. And eventually, I went over to the Colonel Mewburn. And so I got a job, like hands-on training, you know, like for practical nursing, and that's what I did eventually.
You worked there for how many years?
I worked there for about a year and a half. Okay, and then there was an opening here at the hospital, and I transferred to the hospital here in Athabasca.
You said that you were in training more or less at the Colonel Mewburn Veterans Hospital?
Yes, yes.
And you learned a lot there.
I did.
And how did you learn so much?
Well, just like hands-on training, they would do things and explain things to us. And we had like sessions where they would teach us certain things.
So did you stay there at the hospital, or were you still in that home?
No, I was renting a place about a block and a half from the hospital. Mm-hmm. Okay. And while I was there, I met a young girl at the hospital, and she was doing just a little bit of work. She was in training for a nurse. And she needed a place to stay, and she asked if she could stay at my place, she worked nights, so she could stay at my place during the day and sleep. So we took turns. We had the same bed.
Well, how neat.
Yes. But eventually my landlady didn't like that arrangement. And they were very good to me, these people. Yes. They stayed lifelong friends with me.
Yes.
And so she had to leave. But she was still taking the training and still going to school. So she'd bring all these notes, and I would read them was taking. So I learned more than they taught me at the hospital from her notes, because she was actually taking nurse's training. So I got a lot of information from that. So that's how I kind of educated myself a bit.
Well, that's great. Then you were in Minook, and you said something about the foster parents there. And so what happened there?
At Minook?
Minook.
They really were not foster parents. They just took me in as whenever I wanted to stay there.
Yeah, so because your brothers were staying.
Because my brothers were there. I was just a guest.
Were foster children.
Yes. When I came to work at the hospital here, they had the nurse's residence, and I stayed in the nurse's residence.
Yeah.
Here in Athabasca. So on days off, I would go out to Minook, to MacDonnell's, and stay with them to visit. Or on days off when I could get a ride.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so how long did you work at the Athabasca Hospital as a practical nurse?
Oh, I guess, well, I was there until I was 21, so that would have been...
Almost 3 years.
About 2.5 years. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
so what did you do for fun and all that in Athabasca that time? Like in Minook, and you were working at the Athabasca Hospital.
Yes.
And living in
the nurse's residence.
So can you tell us anything about what was going on, the social life in those days?
Well, we used to go to dances once in a while. And Father McMahon's sister worked at the hospital, and we got to be really good friends, Mickey McMahon. And she loved outdoors, and we used to go skiing and doing things like that in winter. So, and we didn't do an awful lot. We were very tired, because in those days we worked 12-hour shifts for 2 weeks, then got 4 days off. So we were awfully tired. We didn't do an awful lot.
For the 4 days, rested. And
yes, we rested. We didn't have much time to do other things. So just occasionally we would go out and do things. So, or we'd visit friends that we had in town, you know, that we met. And often on days off, I would go to Minook, you know, and I would help the MacDonnells with farm work. I'd go out and break hay for them and stuff like that, because I loved working with horses. Wait. Things like that, yeah. Mm-hmm. And he loved it, and he didn't think I could do such a thing.
Yes.
But I learned quite young to do that, because we had to do that on the farm when yeah. we were quite young. My brother and I had to. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we had to. We had to do harrowing and stuff like that. Yeah.
Okay, so then something happened though in the around that time when you were 21. Who did you meet?
Oh, I met my husband Leo Vincent at a ball game. Oh, we used to go to ball games. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. So.
And so then he was a He was a veteran. He
yes.
was a war veteran.
Yes.
Of the Second World War.
Yes.
Okay, so in those days there was glamour attached to being, to having been a soldier, I think, eh? Wasn't there?
Well, I think it was, yes. I never really thought about it, but yes, I guess it was.
And he yeah. had been, and...
He was in it for 5 years.
In the Air Force.
Yes.
So then he had a...
He was a mechanic in the Air Force.
Yes, okay.
Yeah.
You were pretty impressed by him.
Yeah. He was just a nice person. I never thought about it as a vet. He was just a very nice person.
Very real gentleman.
And he treated me as, yes, yeah. Mm-hmm. He treated me as a gentleman all the time. Mm-hmm. He wasn't one to, like some men would want more than just being friends or
yeah.
liking someone.
Right.
But he never, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I never...
And he was really, handsome.
Oh, yes, he was very handsome, too.
Yes.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. So when did you get married, then?
We got married in February the 6th in 1947. And we moved to the farm, the Love Branch Farm. And there was a store and post office there called La Hayville.
La Hayville,
yes.
Alberta.
Yes, that's what they had named it.
Yeah. Okay, and that you moved there... That was where Grossmont Hall is located right now. Is it around that area?
Yes, about a quarter of a mile south of the farm. In fact, the farmland came right down across from the hall.
Mm-hmm. And was there a hall then at the time?
The hall was there at that time,
Oh,
yes.
Really?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Oh.
So
it was a fairly big community then, a community of farmers around
that
area.
It was a community of farmers, yes. Yeah.
Okay.
So.
So now that land would be pretty well a lake property, would it be?
The Hutterites own it.
The Hutterites own that land?
Yes, they own all that land around there.
Oh, okay.
Yes, yeah.
All right.
So.
Okay. So that land, that was your...
Yeah.
Your husband's... land.
Yes, my in-laws were still there, but they just looked after the store, and we bought the farm from my in-laws,
mm-hmm.
and so we farmed, and eventually they moved away and bought a store here in town, my in-laws did, in Little Branches, and my brother-in-law bought the store out there, the store,
mm-hmm.
and so, yeah.
But, yeah. All right, so... So then you were there for quite a number of years because your children, that's where your children were born, right?
Yes.
They were all born there?
Yes, but, well, one was born in Edmonton, Barry was born in Edmonton, so the first one. I went to Edmonton because my doctor was in Edmonton.
But that was, he was
but
born
we were
there.
Still on the farm.
But you were on the farm.
Yes, we were still
yes.
on the farm.
That's what I mean.
No, we had our land, we got our land to the Veterans Land Act at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had to stay on the land for 10 years. We couldn't leave. We had, in order to get it through the Veterans Land Act, we had to be on it for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so we stayed there, even though we lost 3 crops and couldn't pay for things. In those days, we used to charge everything from spring until fall and pay everything off, you know, in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you didn't get a crop, well, you were really in dire straits that time. So
mm-hmm.
my husband had to find a job for the winter, and he went to the Northwest Territories working for an oil company to pay the bills.
Mm-hmm.
So this happened 3 years in a row, and finally after the 10 years was up for the farm, we sold it to the Hutterites.
Yes. And you said something about that lady who had been your Huxley there or whatever, yeah. Came to visit you.
Yes, she came to visit me on the farm one time, and my husband happened to be away, and she said, "This is awful." She said, "You've got four kids, no running water, nothing." She said, "You can't stay here." She says, "If you don't move to town or get off this place," she says, "you're coming back with me. You're coming home with me."
She was going to take all four children and take them with her.
She was going to do something. She wasn't going to leave me there. So the next year, then, we moved to town for the winter. Mm-hmm. So from then on, we did.
Yeah. So that woman was a very caring woman.
Well, she was, yes. Yeah, she was. So, but,
yeah. Okay, so then you were back in Athabasca, and what did you do there? Where did you live and all that?
We lived in Mrs. Wood's house, it's just down the street here.
Oh, yeah.
For the winter, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, but I wasn't doing anything, I just looked after the children. So, and two of the kids went to school here for a short time for the winter. And then, but Barry, we left him with Nevis, my sister-in-law, who was a teacher here at Nevis LaBranche. I don't know if you ever got to meet her, mm-hmm. but she was a teacher here. And Barry stayed with them until the end of the school year, so he wouldn't get interrupted, because it would be too hard to keep moving back and forth to school, different schools. So.
Okay, so you said you were here in Athabasca for... You were at this house, and your oldest... The son was going to school.
Yes.
So, and he ended up staying with your sister-in-law.
Nevis, LaBranche, yeah.
In order to be able to finish school.
Yes, because we had to move back to the farm in the spring again.
Oh, yes. Okay, yes. So you had to go back to the farm.
Yes. So we just moved here for the winter months. Mm-hmm. So.
But you had sold your livestock and all that, eh? Because you had... animals on the farm, right? So then for you to leave that farm for the winter, you had to get rid of your animals, right?
Not all of them, because Junior Fix used to go out and look after things once in a while. He would go out to the farm because he had his cattle, mm-hmm. in our farm. Mm-hmm. So he would take care of things in the winter time. But we did get rid of some things, yes. Yeah, we got rid of the milk cows and stuff like that. So,
so you ended up getting a few good crops from that farm eventually, or what?
No, we sold the farm then. After the third, we were there. For the 3 years that we were there, the last 3 years we were there, we didn't get a crop because we were hailed out, mm-hmm. and a drought also. We did get some crop, but not enough to really... amount to anything. So that's when we decided to sell the farm, because the 10 years was up and we were allowed to leave. Mm-hmm. So
then your children, by the time you moved to, you got rid of that farm and permanently moved in town, your children were of school age, were they?
Yes.
They were all of school age.
So.
And they, what school
no,
were they?
Not quite, no, not quite. Bohina was not going to school yet.
No.
So, that's so.
So then you got busy. You did a lot of things, didn't you? You started working in the hotel, the kitchen in the hotel?
No, or I wasn't in the hotel. I used to go over and get the laundry from the hotel, which was just across the street, because mm-hmm. we lived right downtown where Gina has that was Mom and Dad's store.
Gina's place?
Where Gina has the hairdressing shop?
Yes, okay, I go there. She's my hairdresser.
Yeah, well, that belonged to that was my foster, my in-law's store.
Oh,
they
yeah.
had a general store there. And so we just lived across the street from the hotel, you might say.
Yeah.
So I used to go there about 4:30 every morning, get the laundry and do that. And I also got a job at the local hospital. I went to work. So at 3 in the afternoon, every afternoon, after the laundry was done, I'd go and work at the hospital from 3 to 11.
You also worked at Dr. Wright's and Dr. Brown's medical clinic.
Yes, I did, yes. Mm-hmm. So, because in between, I can't remember the dates, but I quit that job eventually, and then I went to work at Dr. Wright and Dr. Brown's office, off and on, mm-hmm. kind of, so, to help out.
Okay, so Dr. Wright was very kind to you, and he got you a job managing the Salvation Army stuff.
Yes, when it came in, that was 1964, I think.
64, yes.
Yeah, okay, yes. And so I was there for, what, 2.5 years? Three, maybe, quite three, I'm not quite sure. And I got rheumatic fever, and I couldn't work. Mm-hmm. So I was laid up for about 1.5 years where I couldn't work. And then I went back to work at the, I'm not sure.
At the Athabasca Hospital?
I went to work at the hospital, that's right, yes. Yeah, and that's when the, at that time, they had a school for practical nursing. Mm-hmm. And but that's when the CNAs started to work. And so we were demoted to cleaning, and I quit my job, because that's not what I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. So then I went back to work for in Dr. Wright's office.
I see. Then you started with correspondence courses?
Well, I was working at the hospital. I was taking correspondence courses, yes. And so so I finished all to about 11.5, and then we moved to Edmonton, and the job I started working, I had like several jobs working at Christmas time, you know, the Christmas rush. And then I answered an ad in the paper at the Baker Clinic, and I managed to get the job there. And it was just too much. The days were too long because I had to drive there or take a bus. And by the time I got back, I couldn't carry on with my correspondence. So I didn't finish the grade 12. Mm-hmm. So I never got that. But anyway.
Also, you also took bookkeeping course.
Oh, yes, at Edwin Parr, I took a evening bookkeeping course, and I got my certificate. I have it, still have it.
And that was very helpful for you.
Oh, yes, because I could do my husband's book, because my husband was in the water and sewer business here.
Yes.
Okay, and that's why we moved to Edmonton, because he got a job mm-hmm. in the water and sewer job mm-hmm. in Edmonton. And my husband was quite ill most of the time because he was a severe diabetic.
Oh, yes.
And sometimes his memory, because, of, like, if it's a blood, what do you call it, blood count was out of order, his memory wasn't great all the time, mm-hmm. you know, and so he made some mistakes. And one of them was, and we ended up going bankrupt. We had lost everything. We didn't have enough money to really fight the case, so he just walked away from it and walked away from me as well because he was so upset that he felt he couldn't provide for me.
Yes.
And
so he went.
So I was on my own.
When did that happen? When did you all of a sudden find yourself on your own?
That would be about 73, I think, mm-hmm. somewhere in there.
So that's when you started getting, you got a job at the Baker Clinic.
So, it was in 72 or 73 that I got a job at the Baker Clinic in pediatrics. And I asked for a job as a receptionist, and I was only there a week, and they made me medical assistant for all six doctors with the help of nurses. What the nurses couldn't do, I would do. And that was like taking information before the doctor saw, like just doing a short bio, medical bio, so the doctors could read it before the patient went in, because that gave them time to know what questions to ask. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I was doing there, and I would like do blood pressure and things like that. The doctors also did it when they saw the patients. Mm-hmm. So
they liked you a lot there at Baker Clinic.
I did.
You liked the job, didn't you?
Oh, I loved the job. Oh, it was the best job I ever had. I loved it, yeah.
You and were well paid?
Yes, and everybody was so nice. Yeah.
Yes.
But I couldn't make a go of it in Edmonton. I couldn't save any money, even though I was paid well at that time. You know, like wages weren't that high at then, like they are now. But yeah. So
what schools were your children going to in Edmonton?
Oh, none of them. They were all finished by then.
Oh, yeah. All right.
Dwayne was the only one, and he quit school. Right. He was dyslexic.
Oh, yes.
And he had a lot of trouble in school. He just could not. I don't know what we could have done for him, but, you know, like he'd see, like a B could be a D to him. He wasn't sure which he didn't see the things right. He couldn't make it out. Mm-hmm. And so eventually they put him in a, I don't know, they had a teacher that made him write things instead of, like say, phone. They made him spell phone with an F.
Yes.
You know. Then he was really confused. Mm-hmm. So he just got so confused, he didn't want to go to school anymore, and he quit. Mm-hmm. And so he was still with us, but he found a job. Mm-hmm. Found a job in the Northwest Territories. Mm-hmm. And so he was back and forth with us. He was the only one. But none of them went to school in Edmonton. Except Leanne went to Alberta College. And mm-hmm. she took a secretary course there. Mm-hmm. So... Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Okay, so then you said that you couldn't really make a go of it at the Baker's Clinic because you couldn't put away money. You couldn't
I could live okay, but I couldn't save any money. I didn't make enough because rent and transportation and food and just other things, you know, things that just normal things that you do every day. It was taking most of my money and I just could not save. I could save a little bit, but not enough. And of course, my husband didn't have any money. He couldn't leave any for me either. And being that he was so ill, he couldn't support me anymore either.
No.
Because he had trouble supporting himself.
So where was he living at the time?
He came, we had a cabin at Baptiste Lake, and he went and lived there.
He lived there.
Yes. Yeah. I see. And we always stayed friends.
Yes.
Yeah. But anyway, so my daughter said to me one day, Mom, she says, you know, you're a very good cook. She said, I could get you a job cooking in camps. You know, she said, you know, they paid pretty good wages. So I thought, well, I'll give it a try. I'll try that. So this is what I did, reluctantly. I handed in my resignation, and I just about cried when I had to do that. But because they accepted me immediately. They wanted me to come right away. They were so short of people in camps at that time. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I worked for Forshey and Associates for 2 years. And then an engineer came in one day and he said, what are you doing in a camp like this? He said, I can get you a better job than this. Mm-hmm. So he did, and I started working directly. He got me a job working directly for the oil companies. My wages tripled. Mm-hmm. So, and also I could stay, like when I was with Forshey and Associates, we were traveling back and forth every 2 weeks. We could work 2 weeks and get a week home and fly. And I wasn't enjoy flying back and forth that often. And so with the oil company, I managed to stay all winter. I'd go in the fall and stay until spring. Mm-hmm. And so my wages went directly to the bank. Mm-hmm. And in 10 years, 10, 12, it was 10 or 12 years, I had enough money to buy cash for a house. Mm-hmm. So
you bought a house in Athabasca?
I bought a house, yeah. First of all, I moved back here and rented a place at the apartments down here, and from there then I found this house just down the street here across from Bulmer's, and so I had that $40,000 in the bank, and I was getting 18.5% interest on it, and I locked it in for three years. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to take it out, and the bank manager said no. He said because in the meantime the interest rate had gone way down. I was getting $450 in interest on this $40,000 a month. Mm-hmm. And he said, we'll lend you the money. So they lent me the $40,000 to buy the house. And I was paying $240 interest, and I was still making money on my money at that time. So it was a pretty good deal.
It was a good deal.
Yeah.
They were smart. They helped you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so then you you ended up working at the Burger Bar at Baptist Lake for a while. You were a good cook. You loved to cook.
I loved to cook. So in summer, you see, the companies could only stay until March because once the roads got bad, they couldn't come out. They couldn't. Yeah. So they shut down for the summer. Mm-hmm. And so the Burger Bar was available, and I thought, well, I'd give it a try. So I did. So in May, I'd start in May, the 24th mm-hmm. of May, at Baptist Lake, and I rented that for about 3 years from Zazula family.
Yeah.
And they kind of helped me along on what I should do and not do, because it was their Burger Bar, their property there. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So. And you enjoyed that.
I enjoyed it, yeah, and I actually made money.
And there were people meeting there for coffee and for lunch and all that.
Yes, yeah.
Yes.
And I was also fortunate there was a construction crew there, and they ate all the meals at my place. Yeah. So that was nice.
So you made a good profit there.
Yes, I did quite well. But I used to get up at 4:30 in the morning and make pierogies.
Well, that helps. Like you were a worker, a real worker. You struggled for a large part of your life, but you worked hard.
Oh, I did. Oh, yes. Yeah. Yeah, I really did, yeah.
And that was therapeutic to a degree, wasn't it?
Like, well, I think it was, because I knew I had to do it in order to be able to survive when I got older and I didn't have to worry about money. So, and I knew that, and I knew, I don't know, I just had an instinct. I knew what people liked. Mm-hmm. So I cooked stuff that I knew that people would eat or liked. Mm-hmm. And so I knew that pierogies would go over well. So pierogies and sausages.
Yes.
You know.
In this community, it goes over very well.
It did. And I always had a pot of soup on. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So.
Okay, so one of the things that that I noticed that you belonged to the art club for a while, and you're quite an artist. Where did you learn? How did you?
I was always good in school. The teacher used to take me when I was very young. I could draw before I went to school. Mm-hmm. I could draw birds. Mm-hmm. Okay, I was very good at art when I was young, and so my teacher used to take my artwork to the Vermilion Fair, and I would get, and I had ribbons. I don't know whatever happened to them, but they gave me ribbons for my artwork. Mm-hmm. But then I lost the knack, because if you don't keep it up, you don't, you know, somehow I forgot how to do things, eh?
Yes.
For many years. But when they had the art, when Hazel Berry was teaching art at the brick school, I decided to join, and so I start learning all over again. I'm not a good artist, I just know.
But you enjoyed it.
But I enjoyed doing it, yes.
And you enjoyed the ladies who were taking part.
Yes.
And some of the men. Men also were part of the art club.
Yes, yes. So, and so I was there, I think, well, for quite a few years, actually. Gosh, it must have been 3 or 4 years anyway. Mm-hmm. So, and I joined the bridge club. I belonged to that for quite a few years.
So where did you learn to play bridge?
At my foster parents, they played bridge.
In Minook?
No, at Huxley.
At Huxley?
Yes.
Okay, so they played bridge.
Yes, yeah.
So that's something you got there that you enjoyed. You learned to play bridge.
Well, when she made lunch, I used to take her hand, and that's how I learned to play bridge.
Oh, I see.
They continue playing.
Oh, so while she was preparing
lunch,
you would go out there
and taught me how to play.
You'd take over.
Yes.
And bridge is an interesting game.
It is an interesting game, and I loved it, yeah.
Yes, and you were a good learner.
Yeah. Oh, and there were quite a few years, and Kay Shaw was one of them, you know.
Yes.
So... and did Meals on Wheels for 18 years at least.
Oh, my goodness, yeah. So that's right.
With help of Margaret Stiles, yeah.
So. Okay, so then when did you were living in Baptist Lake for quite a while. You had a house there at Baptist Lake?
Just a cabin.
Just a cabin.
Yes.
Then you ended up buying a house in town.
Well, I still had the house in town when I went back out to the lake. So, but he sold the cabin and then got it, put a trailer. We had two lots there, and put a trailer on it, and I lived in that, in the trailer.
At Baptist Lake.
At Baptist Lake. And we sold the cabin. Mm. The log cabin that my husband built, yeah.
Oh, your husband had built that log cabin?
Yes, yeah. We were the only, first ones out there at that end. So
I see. Okay.
Just the side of Locks.
So your children spent many years, lot of time there at the cabin?
Yeah, and they were sorry that one of them didn't get it, because they'd love to have been out there now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, okay. So that was good.
Yes.
For the children to be,
yes,
brought up near Lee.
Yes.
And there were people there were.
They enjoyed it.
Yes.
Do you know where Loxham's lived?
Yes.
Okay, we were just outside of Loxham's gate.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, she used to come over. We used to visit each other quite a bit. Mm-hmm. Very nice person.
So then you finally left Baptist Lake, though, and why was that?
So?
And you...
Well, there was no point in me keeping both places, and I got asthma while I was, mm-hmm, there. And the doctor said that I needed to move from there because the dampness and the molds were not good for me.
I see.
And I really couldn't afford to keep both places.
Yes.
So then I bought another house in town. And that's the one I bought from across from the Catholic Church then.
Yes. Yeah. Okay, so... While you were bringing up your children and all that, do you want to say anything about what your concerns were about children in those days, what your fears were, or anything like that?
My children were quite resourceful. Like, in summer, my children always worked, always had a job. And Leanne, she was supervising a playground that they had for children in the summer. Mm-hmm. And down by the river there was an area there where they had swings and things, and she was supervising, mm-hmm, for the summer.
So they were very much like you were. They had learned from you to be resourceful.
I don't know. They just did it. We expected them to do it. And even in winter or summer, they had to help the neighbors. The kids had to shovel the neighbor's sidewalk, you know, without pay. Mm-hmm. You know, they had to learn to volunteer to do things. Mm-hmm. And they still do. And they, mm-hmm, still do. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't have too much trouble with, except the youngest one. I had some problems with Dwayne. He seemed to have more problems. But and he got into trouble several times, not realizing that he could. Mm-hmm. The things that he did. Mm-hmm. But
so, Anne, I think that unless you have anything else to add, I think that you pretty well have summarized, have given a summary of your history.
I don't know of anything else. Like,
yes.
I volunteered quite a bit. Did a lot. I was, you know, I went to... Well, it was 18 years I went helping with Mass at Extended Care and the Lodge with the Father, and also the Auxiliary. At that time, we used to go to the Auxiliary once a week as well, mm-hmm, so, which I really enjoyed doing.
So. You were a devoted Catholic, and that was partly because of your mother, eh? Your mother had instilled that in you. Even at that very early age of 4?
I think so. But, you know, I was about 6 years old when my neighbors took me to church for the first time, because Dad thought that religion had something to do with Mother's illness.
Oh, yes.
And so he quit the church. But my neighbors took me to church one time, and I walked into the church, and it was like it was almost like going to heaven. I didn't want to leave. Mm-hmm. The church is so beautiful. I just want to stay there, you know.
That was here in Athabasca?
No, that was in Vermilion.
In Vermilion.
I was quite young then. Yeah, I was only 6 at the time. And but I never got to go to church again until I was in the home. Because in the boys' home, eh?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because we had Mass there every morning.
Well, yes. Yeah.
Had to get up every morning at 6 for Mass. And then off to school, and we had more praying when we got to church in like in from the Homey. Yeah, because it was a Catholic school.
Yes.
I went to.
So you enjoyed those sisters? They were kind to you?
The sisters were so good to me.
Yeah.
The only one that I was afraid was Mother Superior.
Yes.
And but I stayed with once in a while I would stay with one of the cooks that stayed, that's roomed at the that was doing the cooking in the home, and I stayed with her. And it wasn't just foster children that went to that boys' home, but people that went on holidays used to leave their boys there sometimes.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, yes.
And there was an older boy there, and for some reason I think he took a liking to me, and apparently he used to put notes under my door, which I didn't know. I should say not my door, but with a woman that I'd stay with.
Mm-hmm.
And the sister found the note before I did. And so I had to do some dusting. That was my punishment. And I had no idea why.
I see, okay.
But I remember another time, and the sister had a room right next door to the cook's room. And and so I'd stand by the window and look outside, because there's a sidewalk going right by. And it was during the war, and there were some soldiers going by, and I got my head out the window looking out, and they were asking me questions, and I was answering them, and Sister Superior came rushing in. Ladies, do not talk through a window.
Oh, I see. Okay, that was a rule.
I was punished again.
That was a rule that I had never heard of in all my many years of living.
Now I think it's funny. I mean, she wasn't mean about it. She was just punishing me for doing things that wasn't acceptable at that time. I don't know. There was so much
and you didn't
emphasis
know
on being a lady at one time.
Yes.
Like my foster parents, every time I went out the door, it was always, don't forget to be a lady. Ladies never get into trouble. Like I could, because his brother was chaperoning me. Like, how could I get into trouble? And he was the one who would tell me who I could dance with and who I couldn't.
That was at the home in Huxley.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
So, that was funny. So,
yeah.
And I did go to a ball with Wilfred and June in Calgary. And like, we had all dressed up and we were wearing gloves and everything, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And there at that dance, they gave you a kind of a little slip of paper. And the names were on there of the guys you could dance with.
Yeah. They, didn't they ask? They asked for a dance with you, and it was written on that little piece
yes.
of paper,
yes.
the name.
Yes.
And then it was all arranged, prearranged, what dances
yes.
you were.
You knew exactly who you were
going to dance
with. The
order in which
with.
You were going
yes.
to dance.
Yes, yeah.
Incredible,
eh? It was different.
It was very different.
There was such an emphasis on being a lady. Every Sunday, the tables were set properly with all the different cutlery on there, and you had to know which is used for each thing.
Yes.
So I think it's funny now. anyway, so, I didn't get any schooling, but I learned a lot.
Yes.
You know? I learned to play the piano, which I forgot, because
mm-hmm.
I never played it again.
Mm-hmm.
Like a lot of things, you know. If you don't use it, you know, you forget.
Were you getting lessons?
Yes, she was a music teacher.
She was a music teacher?
Yes, and she had clients that would come and she would teach them.
Okay, so she taught you on the side.
So she taught me on the side, yeah.
Yes.
So, and when I left, she gave me a book, and I lent it to someone and never got it back, and I can't remember who the lady was that borrowed the book from me, so I never got it back either. You know, that I could practice on my own.
Yeah. So you're privileged in many ways in having been exposed to all those things, and those learning so many things in life.
I certainly was exposed to the elite, let's put it that way.
Yes.
Okay, but other than that. So, but anyway. So, and they were good to me, you know. They were good people to me.
Yes.
So, and like I say, and the sisters were very, very kind, very good. There was a little sister, Faustina, that I really just loved. She was so nice. And Father Michael, that's what I named Barry after, Barry Michael, taught me catechism. He was a very nice priest mm-hmm. and was very kind. Mm-hmm. And he taught me the Ten Commandments and different things. Yeah, so, but anyway.
Well, thank you very much.